Welcome. It's good to see everyone here this evening. Before we start the actual service, I think it's kind of important that we get a realization of what we're doing here tonight, to put the whole thing into some kind of context, because if we just go shooting off without realizing where we are and what we're doing, then we lose part of the significance of what's going on here. Way back in history, in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel are being led out of Egypt, you'll recall that Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go. And so God sent a whole series of plagues upon the Egyptians to try and persuade him to let the people leave Egypt. And the final plague was the angel of death coming over all of the households. And God instructed the Israelites that each family must take a lamb, and they must sacrifice that lamb and smear the blood of the lamb on the gateposts of their doors. So when the angel of death came by, anyone within that household was spared. They were not killed. The angel of death passed over. So you see where Passover comes from. And so since that time in history, the Jewish nation have celebrated the Passover. This is what they are remembering. This is what they're giving thanks to God about. On the Thursday of what we know as Holy Week, Jesus and his disciples met in what we now regard or class as the upper room. And that's what they were doing. They were celebrating the Jewish Passover. And to do that, families and friends came together and they shared a meal. It was called a Seder meal. And every element of the meal had a significant meaning. And if you want to know what it's all about, you can Google it. Google the Seder meal. And it'll tell you what the significance of every element of the meal is. And everything has a role to play, a symbolic role to play. And so what we are doing here tonight is, today is the Jewish Passover. This is the actual day. Our Jewish brothers and sisters are all coming together on this particular day, on probably this particular time, and they are celebrating and sharing in their Passover meal, their Seder meal. What we're doing is we are joining in the great traditions of not only the Christian church, but the very beginnings of God reaching out to mankind. And we are reaching back thousands of years. And we are taking part in that tradition. And so that's what we do here. The first part of our Maundy Thursday service is to remember what Jesus was. He gathered with his friends in that upper room and shared that meal. When Jesus shared that meal, he said to them, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." And that's what we're doing. And after that meal, Jesus and his friends and his disciples, they left the upper room and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so that is why we're doing this. Once we have shared in the communion meal, we will be going into the hall, which is a representation of the Garden of Gethsemane. And our youth group will be doing a series of readings which are an enactment, if you like, of what took place on that particular evening. Maundy comes from the Latin word mundatum. The Latin phrase is dies mundatum, which means the day of the new commandment. And you will recall Jesus said to his disciples, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." And that's where Maundy comes from, Maundy Thursday. It's the day of the new commandment. And so I thought I'd give you two penneth of background there as to what's happening here and to put the whole thing in context. I've got to put this back. I'll be in trouble with it. It's back. We start our service this evening with a responsive call to worship, which is taken from Psalm 116. 116. So you'll need to use your bulletins for this. That's why I was trying to make sure everyone had a bulletin, because I didn't give Grant any advance notice to put any of this on the screen. I actually said to him, do you have all of the hymns in your computer there, Grant? And he just says, yeah, which one do you want? And I said, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And he's been typing it in. Thank you, Grant. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. We'll remain seated as we sing the hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We have two scripture readings. The first is from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus, and it is the account of the Passover. We're reading from the NIV, the New International Version. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and on the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with the bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and the inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I will bring judgment on all of the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. And then from St. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 22, which is an account of the Last Supper. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you turn to your bulletin, you will find there a prayer of confession. And we will pray this prayer in unison. We'll remain seated and we'll take it together. But what I'd like you to do is read it slowly. And as we get to the end of each line or each little paragraph, just give a little pause before we move on. We read it together. Lord Jesus, we too have stood in the courtyard like Peter. We love you, yet we have stood at a distance. We have put our own conditions on the relationship we have with you. We have warmed ourselves at our enemy's fire, and it made us feel warm and comfortable. We cannot live without you. We ask your forgiveness. We come to you. We need your help every day to remind us that whatever we are asked to do, or wherever we are asked to go, that as your disciples, we must decide if this will enrich our relationship or cause it to deteriorate. We thank you for offering us your forgiveness. We thank you for your willingness to die in our place. We thank you for your loving presence that makes it possible for us to live our lives as forgiven children of God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty Father, whose dear Son on the night before he suffered instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gave us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever. Amen. If Sandra would come and join me, please, we will have communion. And what I would ask you to do is, maybe we'll start at this side and we'll come forward singly, take a piece of bread, dip it in the wine, eat it, and go and take a seat in our representation of the Garden of Gethsemane. And when we're all there, we will commence that particular portion of our service. You need to be at this side, Sandra. You serve the bread and all. We come to the table of the Lord. We receive his body which was broken for us, and his blood which was shed for us. And we do this in remembrance of him. The body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. The body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. Blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The body of the Lord Jesus broken for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. Thank you. Thank you. What we see before us at the moment is a representation of the friends of Jesus as they gathered with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. There is a light shining for each one of the 12 disciples, and the central candle is the Christ candle, and at the moment they're all shining brightly. But as we go through these readings, we will see once again and be reminded once again of how different things happened which caused people to desert Jesus on that night. And after each reading, a candle will be extinguished and there will be a brief pause for reflection before the next reading. And so that's what's happening right now.
Then one of the 12, this one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me."
Then Jesus told him, "This very night you will all fall on my account for me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And the other disciples said the same.
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation."
Immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him.
Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, "that you have come to out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled.
"What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began."
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may truly be sanctified.
Soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexandra and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And then they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "King of the Jews."
At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Jesus cried out, "It is finished." It was a cry of triumph. His work was done. And he bowed his head and he died. But Jesus is the light of the world. And his light will never be extinguished. His light shines on in the darkness. And he says to you and I, You are the light of the world. You are salt of the earth. You are Jesus Christ, his body, here on earth. Christ's life of light is our passage from darkness in life to light in life. And for this we say thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you. Coffee may or may not be ready.